Praise God. Hallelujah. There is freedom in the name of Jesus and only Jesus. That's it. Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Oh, God is so good, isn't he? Man, so good. We are so blessed to be here. We have been talking about some spiritual warfare stuff, and I have known and believed for a long time that with the drug addiction, alcoholism, and those types of things, there is a demonic presence, and it's a presence that is real, and it captivates and captures souls, and Jesus Christ is the one who can redeem you and save you and set you free. Beautiful, isn't it? I mean, he's ready to do that for us, church. He's ready. He's so amazing. The word of God that we read last week, we read again today, and it says in Ephesians 6, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be still standing firm. Amen? Yeah, God is good. He is. You're supposed to say all the time. Remember, we were just singing that. God is good. He is, yeah. So if you were here last Sunday, you know we read those verses. We're not re-preaching something. God is moving, and he's challenging us, and he's revealing something to us. And so we read it again today to ask you something. How'd you do this week? Good. That was about 50%. I'm listening. I know where you're at. So I'm going to ask it. I'm not asking to get louder. I'm asking, how did you do this week with your armor and the battle that was raging against your soul? All right, so I did it again. I'm going to get this right. I caught myself that time. Okay, so as we look in the scriptures then, if you did well last week, those of you that were just cheering, you obviously were just celebrating in worship, in singing, celebration, watching the drama. We did this on Friday. We had a couple things happening Friday night in our one night of worship. One church worship night is amazing. And we're just going to see what God is doing in here with us in this moment. So you were standing firm this week, right? Thank you. I'm asking some action steps at the beginning in case you were wondering, and we're going to catch on to this in a moment. All right. So if you were standing strong in the battle, you should also be rejoicing because the victory that you experienced by living in obedience to God is from God. So you were just celebrating that, right? Okay, let's step into the moment. So this is the reason we gather as the family of God. We worship God together. We learn, and he instructs us, he teaches us, he equips us to live our faith out in the world. It's really easy to be a Christian in church. All you got to do is smile at people and be nice for an hour and a half. That's it. And you can look like a Christian because people aren't like that in the world. All right? But we're not talking about looking like a Christian in church. God's challenging us to live like Christians in the world. We come into the church to be taught and built up so that we know how to navigate the sin and the challenges in the world around us. We are the family of God. There's no greater family to be a part of in the entire world, in the entire eternity, than the family of God. All right, so have any of y'all had a family member or yourself been freed from addiction? So you should be celebrating all the more as we gather to understand the power of God and what he's done, right? Yeah. So in the beginning of service, we sang a song, and by get loud, you know, when the scriptures tell us it's okay to get loud, you know it does say that, right? It does. And we should be loud for God. I get loud for a lot of things, and I love a loud motorcycle. There's nothing better. But I want to be loud for Jesus, and we need to make sure that we are loud for him in the way we live. Whether we're heard or not, we should be seen living loud for the glory of God and who he is. Amen. If you did not put on your armor this week daily, You're probably feeling a little guilty and a little defeated today. I mean, maybe you already repented, and I hope you did, because you can. But if you didn't put your armor on every single day this week, you were defeated at some point this week. There's no reason not to put that on every single day. You have to, because the battle is raging every single day. The enemy doesn't sleep. He's aware of what's going on. He knows who you are. He knows your weaknesses, and he's going to come after him. But the Holy Spirit also knows who you are, where you are, and he knows your weaknesses. And God's saying, like, I won't let you be tempted beyond what you can handle. So if you walk with me, we're going to go through this day victorious. When I first got saved, when I first gave my life to Christ, there was a wise pastor that said to me, Dave, can you live for God for 5 minutes? I said, of course I can. He said, okay, then do it. And after you finish that five, do the next five. And just keep going. All right? So, seriously, I was working at a secular job, and I was a print shop, and I would stand in there, and there was a clock on the wall that I always watched because I wanted to get out of there. And so when I looked at that clock, and it would be 5 minutes, you know, things distract you through the day in work, and it's okay. But I would see that clock, and I would pray, and God was faithful. He is faithful. And I surprised myself. I could actually live for him all day long, even at work, even when people around you are dumb. You can live for God. You know that? There's victory in Christ, and it's real. Church, we can live it. So, hey, God wants to talk to us today about victorious living. We already know there's a war raging. If you don't know that, you probably experienced it on your way to church today. Don't come up country club, because that war will get pretty heated. All right, I'm just telling you. All right, or try and come down fifth, either one of those, just stay away. All right, but anyway, so God wants to talk to us about victorious living, and the everyday battle of life is real. Sin is rampant in the world. Just want you to know, culture and the world around us is not going to get any better, okay? And if you're getting older, you're not going to feel better, you're going to feel worse. So celebrate today. Did you listen to me? Celebrate today, because today's the good day you're going to have. Because the reality is our body's falling apart and the world's falling apart. That's all because of sin, all right? So stop letting that stuff dictate how I live my life and who I am and how I live for Jesus. You're going to have problems in the world. What are you thinking? It's run by sin. The enemy owns that place. He does. We gave it to him. When Justin read at the beginning, you know, about the temptation of Jesus, when the devil said, all this I will give you if you worship me, he had ownership. The devil did. Because God had given that ownership to us, and we just handed it off. And so Jesus came to redeem us and to claim that back so that we could have victory in him and to be victorious in our lives every day. And therefore, as we look at this church, we understand the brokenness of the world is because the world has not surrendered to Jesus.
Yep. Amen.
So, when we live in a world that is broken and sin, don't think that government's going to fix it. Please don't think the school system's going to fix it. Nobody's going to fix it except Jesus. The only hope we have is a revival and people surrendering their lives to Jesus Christ. That is your only hope, period. So people are dumb. None of us, I know, but I'm saying people are dumb. That's the general public, all right? So we got to remember this. The key to victorious living is stated at the beginning of the armor passage in Ephesians 6. There is a word that God says to us here that is important for you and I to grasp. This is what it says. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Amen. Okay, God's word is not telling you and I we can win anything.
That's right.
You and I know we can't win the battle against sin, the battle against addiction, the battle against the world. We can't win that. Only God can, and therefore, if we are not in that relationship with God, fully armored with what he's provided, we will not be victorious. But we can be victorious when we're in that relationship, fully armored and standing in who He is, because He's bought that for us. So we have a part to play, right? We do. We have a part to play in victorious living. It has been provided for us. God's word tells us over and over again that He's given us victory. And victory in Christ is real. But you and I understand that if the only way for me to live victorious is in and through Christ. So we're not going to repeat the whole spiritual battle thing. Instead, we're going to look at what God's saying to us in the application of what does that look like to fight the battle out there Monday through Saturday, and Sunday afternoon and Sunday morning, and in church. All right, so here we go. We don't take days off with our walk with God. You don't stop doing your spiritual disciplines because you worked an extra shift. When you take vacation, you don't like leave your Bible and your prayer time at home. We are in a war that is real everywhere. And it's a challenge for us sometimes when we're sick, when we're, you know, going through stuff, or we've been up for 24 hours or whatever's going on, that we are not fully engaged with God, and that's when we're vulnerable. When you make yourself exposed to the enemy and you do not expose yourself to God, you're going to fall. You will. When you're worn out, you're an easy target. That's why God rested on the seventh day and told us, you need to chill. You can't work 7 days a week. You will wear yourself out, you will fail, and you will fall. Church, we've got to do it God's way. Victorious living is living according to God's principles and the way that He's created us, designed us, and purposed us to live. And so if we're not following God's patterns of life, we will follow our patterns of life and we'll end up in not the right place. Come on, it's right here in the scriptures, right? Our everyday life with God, it has to be all in. Not just all in on Sunday. I have to be all in every single day. 1 John 5, we're going to read 5 verses here. You should read 1 John. It's only 5 chapters. It's amazing. Here you go. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. So, reading one verse, here's what we're going to say. The scriptures tell us that all you have to do is believe in Jesus, right? I mean, and some people teach, I want you to hear this. Please stay awake for this moment. All right. This is what the Word of God is saying. So some churches and people preach and teach an easy believism. Well, they believe in Jesus. Well, see, we grab that verse and we say, well, I believe in Jesus. I mean, the devil believes in Jesus, right? Yes. He's not saved. So there's something more that we're being told than just that we believe in Him. There is something more and deeper. So when we look in the scriptures and what He's telling us, here's the first clue. Everyone who loves the Father loves His children. So He's like, if you truly love Him and you believe in Him, you're going to love the people around you. All right? That's your coworker that makes you do their work. That's your neighbor who is in opposition to you and everything that happens. That is that person that cut you off on your way to church today. God's word says you love His children. You look around and you love people. That requires God, because we as human beings do not love people. Okay, so there's the belief that we have in Jesus Christ is a transformational belief in me and how I view people. I hated people. I didn't like anyone before I met Jesus. I didn't. There was one person in the world I cared about, that was Kim. I didn't care about anyone else. I was angry at myself, the world. I would cuss at people walking by. I would yell things at people on the street. I mean, when you see people like that, understand they're broken and crying out. I was an obnoxious young person. I hated the world. I hated myself. Please hear that. When Jesus came into my life and forgave me, He allowed me to see people completely different than I ever saw them before, with a heart of compassion and understanding that they're hurting, that the world is broken, people are struggling. The people in the room around you today, they're smiling and they're celebrating today in church, and it feels great to get out of the world. But some of the people in this room, most of the people in this room are struggling with something, and there's pain in their heart, and there's difficulties in life. And then, you know, they don't make eye contact with us, or they don't shake our hand, and we think they're a jerk. He's like, man, you love people, even the rude people. We read the second verse. All five verses won't be like that, I promise. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey His commandments. Obedience. Loving God means keeping His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. It's not hard to live a Christian life. It's actually harder to live against God than it is with God.
Yeah.
Church, if we're having a hard time with it, surrender. Yeah. That's you fighting God. You're not going to win. All right. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Man, that's beautiful. One of the key verses of victory, right there, and victorious living, our faith. Not just believing, but faith in action, which said right there in the scriptures, a life of obedience. I mean, some people think I say that a lot. I do. Obedience. God's word says so. We have to live in obedience to God to live victoriously. If there is something in your life you're telling God no about, you are not living in obedience. It's pretty simple. You're saying, well, I'm not telling Him no. I'm just not doing it. Seriously, what are we doing? It's God's word. He's saying, live it. Live it. If I say I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that I have faith in them, then it says in the Word of God that I will do what they say. Therefore, we ask the question in the accountability question at the beginning, do you know what the Holy Spirit is saying to you? Because the Holy Spirit's speaking. He speaks through the Word of God. He speaks through songs. He speaks through devotionals. He speaks through worship, singing. He speaks through testimonies. He speaks through drama. Right? I mean, God speaks. And so the Holy Spirit is pointing something out to us. And what He's pointing out to us is to bring us into alignment with God. If what you're hearing is taking you out of alignment with God, don't listen. That's not God. Like, I don't understand what God's saying. Look, there's a daily life of obedience He's calling you into, and it is a victorious life. If what you're hearing is not leading towards that, shut that voice down. The enemy's a liar. He wants to sound like God. He wants to be God. So He's going to tell you things that sound good to your ears and feel good to your flesh. You should check yourself right there. Do we believe that Jesus defeated sin and did not fall to any temptations in life? Do you believe that?
Yes.
John 16:33. I've told you all, this is Jesus speaking. I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I've overcome the world. All right, so here's what Jesus is telling us. He's like, hey, church, when you put your faith in me, you walk with me. You can have peace. Understand that you can have that peace even in the crazy of life. It doesn't make sense, and it's not human. People ask, and I appreciate it, and hear me right. Our son is facing his third battle with cancer. And he got his port in this week. We'll start chemo on the 27th. A lot of stuff happening in life. Hard stuff going on in his life. As a parent, you know, if you're a parent, like, it's not the way it's supposed to go. Right? So then people are like, how you doing? It's like, well, I have peace. I trust God. I hurt. All three of those. Yeah, all three of those. But where would we be if it was not for the peace of Jesus, man? Where would we be? He's present. He's powerful. He's trustworthy. The world's crazy and it's not trustworthy. Things in life are not trustworthy. Jesus is. And therefore, we put our faith and trust in him. And he provides peace in everything we face in life. And in that peace, there is victory. And you rest assured in who he is, no matter what. He has overcome. And he has provided victory and the ability to experience life to the full. Man, I want you to know, we are celebrating life at the exact same time as struggling through life, right? That's crazy. That doesn't make sense. Doesn't have to make sense. He says, I'm beyond your understanding anyway. I've got you. There's nothing like it in the whole wide world. So when he has provided victory for us, he's provided victory for us. So the things that we face in life, don't stop it. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible, we went through this last week in our men's warriors study, Romans 8. It is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I have favorite verses, but oh my goodness, when you read Romans 8, you just highlight the whole thing. It's just incredible. I'm only going to read a couple verses. Don't get nervous. I'm not reading the whole chapter. We would be here all day. All right, you ready? Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake, we are killed every day and we are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. So because we face challenges and trials in life, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. Doesn't mean we've been forsaken. Because I feel like garbage today doesn't mean that I've sinned. Life. I mean, the Word of God tells us over and over, you're going to have struggles. You're going to have challenges. Stop allowing that to dictate or overwhelm your faith. Trust Him. Trust Him. We're all going to die. Okay? Because we come to that moment, like, you understand, you're not winning. You do understand that, right? I mean, I hope a few of you understand. You're not winning when you die. Only Christ is going to win there. And that battle is His, and He has already beaten death. Therefore, when we put our faith in Him, we are victorious even through death. And so when we look at the Word of God and it says, look, nothing's going to separate you from God's love. He's going to love you even in death. And He's going to take us into His arms.
Yes.
And everything's going to be okay.
Yes.
Everything's going to be okay.
Amen.
All right. So just, that was a pretty lame applause, I'm just saying. But anyway, I mean, it's like, well, I'm going to die. So not only do we face challenges as part of life, it's to be expected, we still have overwhelming victory available. I love the way it says that. Overwhelming victory in Christ. That's amazing. It's ours through Christ who loves us. I like overwhelming victory. I don't like close victories. Like, I like to relax. Like when Michigan's playing Ohio State and they're blowing them out. You know? I mean, football season just started. I'm just trying to help. All right, so like when Michigan is like totally dominating Ohio State, I like to just sit back and enjoy the victory. You know what I mean? It's like stomp them, keep going, run up the score, beat them, you know. In case you don't know, I'm from Michigan. But anyway, I'm saying when I read that scripture, I think of that. I don't like the little anxieties of, it's 7-6. No, I want overwhelming victory. God's word says, we have overwhelming victory in Christ. I mean, it's a blowout. It's a blowout. Not even close. So we're not going to let any... Well, the altar's open for you. All right, so We're not going to allow any circumstances to determine our faith. So stop letting circumstances determine your victory or defeat. Stop it. Why would we? So he overcame in order for you and I to overcome. And we have to stay on the right path through everyday challenges that we are all going to face. So going back to the armor of God passage, Ephesians 6, it says this. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Amen. So our victory is in faith, right? We read that in the other passage of scripture as well. So it's like we are believing God for the victory he has provided, and our faith is the very shield that stands before us when the enemy is attacking. That's what it tells us. It's straight up in that armor passage. It's your faith. In other words, we're going to trust God in the moment. Yep. Not after, in the moment. The faith gets engaged in the battle. God has given me victory. You or anyone else in the world are not going to overcome me. And I will not surrender my victory in Christ because you had a bad day. It's a shield of faith. So the challenges and chaos of life, the difficulties that we face, do I trust victory in Christ or not? Am I relying on me or him? That's the question, right? So Matthew 7, anyone who listens to my teaching, again, this is Jesus, anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rains come in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So Jesus is like giving us this incredible illustration to say, look, you're all going to go through the same thing. Everybody in life is going to go through the same stuff, Christian or non-Christian. We live in this world, and the winds and the rains and the troubles are coming. You want to survive? Your life has to be built on Jesus. You want to fail? Do it your way. It's going to collapse, 100%. So victorious living is not trouble-free living. Thank you, Justin. Anybody else want to agree with that, right? It's biblical, right? It's biblical. It says it in the Word of God. So victorious living doesn't mean trouble-free. It doesn't mean there's not going to be a chaotic week. It doesn't mean the government's not going to collapse. It doesn't mean you're not going to lose your job. None of that. Back in the collapse of 2008 to 12, when we had an economic collapse, my wife and I lost our home. We lost it. Only house we had ever bought prior to the one we live in today. We'd never bought a house. I didn't want that. I didn't want a house. I didn't. I was just like, nope, don't care. Don't want to ever own one. So then we moved here, and you guys didn't have a parsonage, which is a house the church owns for the pastor to live in. It's part of your income. It's not like free living. You pay taxes on that and everything. I pay taxes like you, in case some of you don't understand that. Okay? So, like, we moved here. We bought a house. And it was like we had to. There was no place for us to live. Things were crazy. The economy collapsed. We were in the old building over there on Broadway. And things, my wife lost her job as a result. Our son and daughter-in-law got in an accident. They lost everything. They came and moved in with us, which was never part of my plan, by the way. All right, so, I mean, I'm happy to have them. Don't misunderstand me. But you understand, when my wife lost her job because the economy was collapsing, my son lost his job because the economy was collapsing and the accident and the hospital bills, they lost their home and everything. And now I have the responsibility of their family, us, and Derek was still living at home. And it was like, things don't measure up. You know, income and outcome, they're not equal. We did everything we could, just like all of you, and did everything to try and do the right thing and save all that and do all that, trying to do extra jobs on the side like everybody else in Tucson. So there wasn't a lot of extra jobs around, right? Okay, so I'm only telling you this because there came a day when I woke up. I had been clenching my teeth through the night, And that scripture of, you know, be anxious for nothing is kind of convicting when you're like anxious about everything and you're trying to fix it. And I had to surrender and just say, and God spoke to me right there. And he said, you know, that house is just a number on a street and there's another one. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm done. God's amazing. He's amazing. He always takes care of us, no matter what. And so when we let and surrender, now he is. We learn through the trials and challenges in life. We do. We realize we're not in control, that we have to surrender, and things in the world aren't going to go accordingly. They're just not. It's okay. I can still live victorious in Christ, regardless of what's happening in the world around us. So we live in this relationship with him that he's provided for us, and we have victory, overwhelming victory. So in Jesus' teaching here, he says that believers and non-believers, the same, are going to face the same types of storms. So, you know, my wife had cancer 6 years ago, and the initial prognosis was not okay. And we were facing the reality that she may be going to be with Jesus in that moment. So here's what happens, church. I want you to hear me. It's important for us as Christians to hear this. People would come with words of comfort, and thank you for that. But this is what a lot of people would say. Oh, God's not going to let her die. You're a pastor. You're a Christian. He would never let your wife die. And I'm like, I know pastors whose wives have died. I know widows whose husband was a pastor that died. Because we're Christians doesn't mean we don't have problems, trials. It doesn't affect us. Everything in this world affects us too. And we can't lose sight of that. I don't have a plastic bubble around me, nor do you, saying like the world will not touch me. No, I have a presence of the Holy Spirit within me that says the enemy will not defeat me. That's a big difference. So if we have Jesus, the foundation of our life is beyond human. It's amazing. It's so far beyond human. He is God. He is the God of the universe. Don't you think you can trust him when you're facing the most difficult crisis of your life? You can trust him no matter what the outcome is in this moment. You can trust him. We read this passage earlier in 1 John 5. It's the last passage we read here in the scriptures, I believe, before we do the action steps. It says, for every child of God defeats this evil world. You got victory. And we achieve this victory through our faith. Amen. And who can win this battle? Yeah, you can celebrate. Go ahead. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. Amen. It's time, church. If you fell this week, it's because you didn't put on your armor. It wasn't God. He does not get defeated. He is a victorious God. Would you stand with me? If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. 1 Corinthians 10. So I do have another verse to read to you. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. See that overwhelming victory in Christ? We're all going to go out of here and be tempted. The enemy's trying to defeat us, right? But when you are tempted, the Word of God says he will show you a way out so you can endure. So don't get cocky in victory. Trust him. He's got you. Don't get stuck in yourself. Surrender to him. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you haven't, today's the day to do it. He loves you. He's provided victory for you personally, and he's inviting you into that relationship with him. Have you been baptized in your faith? We have baptism coming up September 6th. Sign up. Get baptized. Continue in this walk with God the way he's called you. Are you putting on your armor daily, church? If you're not, get after it, because you're living a defeated life. Here's the last one. Are you weathering the storms of life with your shield of faith while remaining victorious in Christ? Are you doing it? If you're facing a storm today, just come to him. He's got victory for you. Just hold onto the foundation of who he is. He loves you. Father, we love you. We're so grateful for Jesus. Thank you for the victory that you've provided. It's real. It's real. The peace that you give is real. The redemption you provide is real. For God, you are real. Beyond anything this world ever does, you're so good. Lord, we trust you fully today. We're all in. Are y'all in, church? All in. In Jesus' name, amen. All in. Amen. Yeah. Let's go do it.